What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Where to Begin podcast. I am Christy Francesco. Joining me, as always, is my illustrious wife, Morgan. Hey, hon.
Hello, my love. I'm waiting for you one day to do one of these episodes and be like, joining me is my harlot.
No, I would never do such a thing.
Not on the bring her on.
Not while we're recording. I wouldn't say that. They're like, oh, hello. And then I would say it. But no, I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in and downloading our show all across the you know, podcast platforms, up to hundreds, I'm sure that there are at this point. Every time we post one, I get feedback right away. And sometimes sparingly throughout the days or the weeks before we record another one, I'll get more comments from people. But so far, the reviews have been positive, no issues, which is good.
We stand a chance at an Oscar or the Oscars for podcasting. Is there an Oscars for podcasting? There will be one day.
There's
podcast awards, right?
There's podcast
awards. Because
The Office Ladies won almost everything.
Well, that'll be us next year.
Yeah, that'll be us. Yeah. Yo, fun fact. I don't even think you know this because I don't know how often you check like Jenna Fisher's or Angela Kinsey's Instagram.
They got a dog.
Jenna Fisher did. Yes. She looked beautiful in that photo. She's getting better with age.
Or Jenna.
Oh, Jenna.
Interesting.
But apparently like two shows ago, they merely mentioned Red Vines. And literally like 2 days later, they had like personalized buckets of Red Vines delivered to, I think it was to Jenna Fisher. I think it said like two, is the same buckets that I got you for Easter. But it was like a couple of them. And they said like two Office Ladies and all that kind of stuff. So I guess they're sponsored by Red Vines now. Must be nice.
Red Vines would sponsor us. I love those things.
I hate them. So don't, I mean, if you're going to pay us, then sure. I love them, but
I love them.
Twizzlers all the way. I would like to see how they're made so differently. Cause they have the a different same
taste.
Thing.
They have a different taste, a little bit of a different texture too.
Yeah,
I do like chocolate Twizzlers. Chocolate Twizzlers are really good.
That's such a thing. Chocolate.
Yeah,
Twizzlers?
They're good. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, hard pass. Ugh,
no, they're good.
All right, Morgan. So, where to begin tonight?
I don't know.
That's a great answer.
Well, Christopher, I thought we could discuss the topic of parenting.
Oh, we could. I mean, that's a good place to begin. I mean, we had sex yesterday.
Well, yeah, miracles do happen. Look at that.
That's not a miracle. Stop.
Win for the week.
That's okay. That's funny. But yeah, so it's been I don't want to say a fun week, you know, some, you know, heartache within the family. I had a grandfather, my dad's dad pass away last week. So it's been a rough, I want to say like 10 days or so from a mental and emotional standpoint. But it's all right. Unfortunately, this is a fact of life, and I'm 34 and I've had, you know, my grandparents around for the majority of my life. So this is kind of unfortunately the time where things unfortunately start to happen. And these are the things that go on. My grandpa was 84, so he lived a good life, 84 years on this earth. You know, God bless him on that one. But moving on to more positive stuff, we are discussing the topic of parenting tonight. We're not here to, like, you know, give advice. It's more or less.
Oh, I am.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll listen up. I'm telling you everything you need to hear. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to find you and I'm going to tell you told you so. Just kidding.
Feel like people in my family. All right. Morgan proposed some questions to me whilst we were eating dinner, and it was a good idea. And I'm going to kind of give her the stage right now to kind of discuss or outline what we're going to be going over here and go from there.
Well, I shall take it away, Christopher.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that handoff. I feel
You're
like
welcome.
The baton has been passed.
Yeah.
So topic number one, I thought that we could discuss, and I know your cop-out answer is I have no least favorite things, but I thought we could discuss our favorite things as well as least favorite things about parenthood.
Okay. All right. So Morgan mentioned I have to identify her as a she, right? Or else people get a little woke around here. So the question was, what are the positives or what I like the most about being a parent and what I dislike the most about being a parent? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So
she said,
we're going to have a listening episode soon.
I'm going to take that night off. I don't think I'm going to do that one. And she's right that my cop out answer, and you know, I get asked this a lot, not just by, you know, my wife, but I get asked this by friends or, you know, colleagues, coworkers, stuff like that. You know, what's the best part about being a parent? But then what's
raving the worst? Fans.
And I always say the same thing, and I know it's a cop out, but it's just how I feel. And anybody who knows me kind of understands that. I don't have a negative about being a parent in the sense that I enjoy every second of it. I love it. The good times and the bad, because there's always there's learning experiences with the good and with the bad, right? But
right,
no matter
even
what,
when she's misbehaving, she's even so when, stinking cute.
But not just that. Like, I'm grateful with the fact that I get the chance to be with her when she's having a bad day. Or, you know, yes, I'm. We're having struggles, whether she's not listening or blah blah blah, not responding to things. But it's the fact that I get to experience that with her. You know what I mean? But if I guess so. My positive. What I like most about being a parent is just the idea of loving someone or loving something more than that word could ever, you know, describe, right? So it's, and the fact that there's someone there other than, you know, my wife, but, you know, I'm all that she knows, you know, in the sense of being every day. And, right. You know, I'm responsible in a way for teaching her how to love and all these things. It's just an incredible responsibility. And I mean incredible, not of like when people use the word incredible, like it's so positive, stuff like that. It's an incredible responsibility. It's mountainous. The size of the responsibility of being a parent, it's really hard to describe because it's not something you can just tell to someone. You have to experience it, really. And so that's the, what I like most about being a parent is the everyday challenge, but then just every day being able to call myself dad, like I'm a dad. And that's, other than being a husband, dad is what I care about most. So
yeah. And podcast extraordinaire, right underneath.
Yeah,
right?
We'll go with that.
Right underneath.
It's
like 1A, 1B, 1C.
That's correct. and the worst part, I guess
I'll go with the worst part because I definitely have two things.
Well, I'll go real quick since you have two. So my least favorite thing about parenting is you're scared all the time. And it's not like, oh, she's outside on the playground. She's going to fall. I don't care about that. She's going to fall, blah, blah, blah. She's a kid.
I do. I don't want her falling.
Yeah, I know. But
I don't want her to ever experience pain.
Well, she's experienced pain.
I know.
So, but the fear is I'm scared because this is an awful world that we live in. Mm-hmm. It is brutal. It is unforgiving. It is just a sick, you know, sadistic crap world that we live in. And it's difficult to navigate that as a parent. And to even think or imagine that she's one day going to have to navigate herself and, you know, even our next baby, our next girl, the fact that she's going to have to navigate through this disgusting, sinful world as well. It's terrifying because you never know exactly what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong until they get to a certain age.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm preparing them the right way. All I can do, and I got to give credit to, you know, Brent and Bernadette are our good family friends who always have told me, you know, the only thing we can do as parents every day is the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's, it's not necessarily advice. It's basically just giving you confidence to say, look, the only person that knows your child, you know, the best is you. And you're going to, if you do the best that you can, then that's it. The rest is not up to us. right? So I got to give them credit for that, because that's kind of how I take to parenting, is I do the best that I absolutely can. And one day it might not be good enough, maybe not. But at the end of the day, when I put my head down at night on my pillow, I do feel like I did a good job. And, you know, we'll see. So that's the negative part, quote unquote, about being a parent, is it's just scary.
Yeah.
You just never, you always have to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
So that's my positive and negative.
Well, and that's kind of my big negative. And I was going to phrase it more along the lines of like the added emotional stress and anxiety that I didn't have before. Like I remember when Addie was born, before Addie was born, I never feared walking up and down the steps. And then Addison was born and I was terrified to walk up and down the steps with the newborn. Cause I was like, what if that's the time that I trip and fall and I have Addie, like what's going to happen? Like all these like other what ifs that you don't even think about that are totally fine until child comes into the world. And there's all these it's so funny. Cause I feel like my favorite thing about being a parent is the amount of joy that I experience every day just from watching her live. And, you know, just the little things like when she cuddles herself up for her nap and when she covers herself and snuggles in her little blankie, like I love watching that. Yeah. There's something so special and cool about that.
I love watching her eat an apple.
I know. Cause like, eats an apple. We just give her an apple and she just eats it.
I could just sit there and watch her eat an apple. Mm-hmm. Like that's how
she is my favorite TV show.
That's a good point.
Yeah. She is my favorite TV show, but along with that joy comes, and I know that that's not necessarily the healthiest thing, but I have very, very bad anxiety issues, which actually might be a good topic for us to talk about one day, but I have crippling anxiety issues. And, you know, once she came into the picture, all these additional like fears and worries and what ifs just flood my mind. And it's just, sometimes it doesn't take away from the joy at all, but it's just exhausting sometimes to live in my head because of the fear of, oh my goodness, I love this child so much. And she's too young to understand certain things.
Yeah.
And it's my responsibility and yours. But I mean, like when she's with me, it's my responsibility to keep her safe. Like having the responsibility of keeping a child safe, I think is very, very stressful when you actually sit down and think about it.
I agree. And, you know, to kind of tell a story, and you know this because, I mean, you thought it was a beautiful thing. I thought it was the most terrifying thing of all time that I've ever experienced in my life up until that point was, you know, you're terrified to walk up and down steps with a newborn. I mean, geez, so am I.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm terrified walking down steps with a 2.5-year-old sometimes, you know, especially after, you know, she fell down the one time, the steps.
Yeah.
I see this thing bowling down the steps. Thankfully she was all right, but still you're terrified about it. Now imagine that with a newborn. The anxiety's literally through the roof.
Yeah.
So what happened to me was, I think Addie was 2 weeks old, 3 weeks, maybe a month, not even. So one night I guess just holding her on my chest, laying in bed.
Oh my goodness. I remember this.
Morgan was getting a shower. I must have just fell asleep I was kind of laying up in the bed a little bit, and you know, I'm on my side, I'm not in the middle of the bed. I'm on my side of the bed, which means if you look over to the right of me, you're on the floor. The baby fell asleep on my chest and I fell asleep. Morgan gets out of the shower, wakes me up, and I freak out. I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, literally I could have rolled over and this child could have fell down 4 feet, 3 feet to like its death or to nothing. I mean, I'm sure she would have been okay, but would have been awful. And that would have been my fault. Little, you know, Morgan's like, oh, that was so beautiful. We have a photo of it. I mean, maybe I can post it on Instagram when we post the show. I think I have a photo of it. I was mortified.
Well, it's funny because when you woke up too, like I didn't know what to do because I took a picture. Like I stood right there and I took a picture because it was so stinking cute. But then I paused because I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to take her off of your chest because of what I was afraid would happen, which is kind of what happened. because I, you know, I went to eventually kind of move her. I didn't want to, I wasn't sure if I should kind of try and wake you first. And then, but either way, I was afraid you were going to startle. And that's what happened. Like I went to kind of pick her up and you must've internally, you felt her move and you woke up and you like tried to grab her from me. And I think that was a little startling, but that was that. See, that's the thing. If that happened to me, I would have been terrified.
Yeah.
I would have been
like,
the exact same situation.
I literally thought about it that entire night. I'll never, ever forget it. Yes, it's a beautiful moment. Yes, obviously nothing was going to happen to her because like you said, internally, I knew she was there.
Yeah.
But still, the fact is when you're sleeping, I don't know. What if she wakes up and starts to try to, you know, maneuver around? I don't know. But that just goes into, like you said, it is as beautiful, but it's equally terrifying to be
totally terrifying.
Like a new parent. I'm sure with the second one, you know,
we'll see the second
bing,
one.
Bada bing, bada boom.
But well, the second one then brings me a whole new set of fears. Like if you think about, like, we're very, very lucky that with the timing that we're having number two, if we had had number two by now, imagine like if we had number two 6 months ago before Addison was super confident on the steps, then that would be stressful on me trying to worry about a newborn up and down the steps while also maneuvering Addie up and down the steps and making sure she's okay. And then little things like what happens if I put Addie down for her nap and like having to have the newborn, it's interesting. Like, I think it's going to be definitely, there are going to be things that are going to be come really easy and just make sense. But I definitely think there's going to be a whole new set of new things and what ifs and crap. How do I do this? Like now I'm imagining like, what if I'm nursing our baby and Addison's in her chair and needs help or gets stuck or something?
I can't.
These are the kind of things that go through my head.
These are the things that I'm going to think about while I'm not here. It's going to be just petrifying, but yeah, you're right. But sorry, that's a long-winded answer to your first question.
No, that is, but that was good. And so I shared my number one least favorite, and my favorite thing was just the sheer joy that you get out of things that normally wouldn't give you joy.
Yeah.
Like I said, just watch like when she eats successfully with a spoon. Like that makes me so happy. Oh my goodness. And when she eats treats like whipped cream, like how she gets so excited and like, she's just so happy about it. And then she tries to feed it to her toys, which makes a total mess, but it's so stinking cute.
Right.
And those little like dee da dee da dee da dee da dee da sounds that she makes. Oh, they're just like the littlest things can spark so much joy.
I agree.
The other least favorite thing that I have, which I think this is what a lot of women in particular say, is the sheer amount of unsolicited advice. And sometimes it's even advice. It's kind of like phrased like, you have to do this. Or if you don't do this, you know, you need to do this. And it's just, you know, when things aren't even asked or questioned. Like I had a friend who, when I was pregnant with Addie, sat me down, who she's younger than me. She has no kids. She was not married. And she was giving me advice on what I should do and telling
Isn't
me like how I need to do things. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, so you're not married. You don't have a child. You're not pregnant. And you're telling me what I need to do. Like things like that. I just don't think people realize how it resonates sometimes. Especially when it's more of like, you have to do this.
I think people don't understand how bad it makes them come off.
Right. Exactly. I think,
like,
I think
because in the inside, I'm looking at them and I'm saying,
right,
you're an asshole. Like, I don't know why you're even trying. Like, you can't understand or grasp the fact that you're talking to somebody with a kid while you are alone with no kid and nothing, but you're trying to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Like you haven't experienced a second of what I've experienced.
Yeah.
Like I'm not here to give you advice on what to do about your life. You're giving me advice that I would never ask you for about what to do with myself and then a child.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah. That's exactly what I think you should do.
And I think what's interesting too, is like, I still feel like people look at me like, okay, I have one kid and they still feel like they know more than me.
Well,
and that drives me nuts. And I know some, like, obviously, there's difference between experience, but also for me knowing, it's like, I know what's best for my kid because of how I'm raising her and how I know her better than anyone else. Like we know her better than anyone else. So just because we're first time parents doesn't mean we're making wrong decisions. Like we know what's best for her because we're with her all the time and we know her personality and we know how we want to raise her. So I feel like unless I have like four kids, you know, people will look at me and think that, you know, oh, I'm the new mom who doesn't know how to handle certain things or do certain things.
I mean, normally, to be honest, if I have a legitimate question about my child, I'm probably going to call the pediatrician.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's just me. All right. What was your next question?
My phone went off. Let me look. Sorry.
Go ahead. It's okay. You have to be prepared.
I am prepared, Christopher. Don't you dare throw me under the bus on this podcast in front of people.
In front of people. In front of us.
And all the people who listen. Okay. So one thing I thought might be interesting if we discuss kind of how we differ as parents.
Okay.
Which I think is interesting because we're very different on some things. Ugh. Like, we definitely don't agree on everything. And then I think it's very interesting because, well, I'll let you kind of start this. Unless you want me to start.
I think I need you to start because I want to know kind of where you're going. Like, so then yeah. I know I can say, oh, okay, yeah, I look at it differently this way.
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit at dinner, but like,
okay.
I was shocked. Like, now that I'm a parent, you're definitely the disciplinarian. And I totally thought sometimes. I was going to be the person who was going to be so super disciplined and wasn't going to let my child like have a ton of TV time. And she still doesn't, but she gets more than I probably originally thought that she would. Mm-hmm. But I'm such a pushover when it comes to her. Like, I just want her to never be upset. And I am not good at discipline at all. And you are totally the person who is. And I thought it'd be the total opposite, but you cave first. So you'll discipline.
I always cave.
But yeah. Then you cave immediately.
And that's a problem. Like, I'll say, okay, Addie, this is your second shot of whipped cream. No more after this.
And then five shots of whipped cream later.
And then she'll finish it and she'll do like what she'll do. She knows some sign language, which is cool. And she mm-hmm. knows the more sign language. And I'll be like, what do you want? And then she'll do the more. And I buckle. I'm like, oh my God, that was the cutest thing I've ever seen. So here's seven more shots of whipped cream. So yeah. I think I'm the better disciplinarian in some ways because I'm a little bit, not a little bit. I think
I'm not sure. Like, you have a better voice for it. Like, when I try to discipline her, I sound too nice.
Oh,
but
I
like
see.
You, I think
you should
like
talk to her like you talk to me.
I should. She'd be whipped right into shape. Actually, she wouldn't because you're not whipped into shape. Ooh, burn. Just kidding. I feel like I'm too soft.
Well,
I'm too sensitive.
You're way more patient than I am.
This is very true, which is a shocker because one of the things I loved about you when we first met was how patient you were. Little did I know that was all an act just to get me
in bed.
No, just in general.
No, I'm very patient with a lot of things, but since becoming a parent, I think that impatience with a lot of things has worn off because, you know, just, you know, a lot of things happen. People
also have lack of sleep.
Yeah, like lack of sleep.
Like, I feel like the patience goes away when you have a lack of, like, we have significantly less sleep than we did before. We have almost no control of our time. Our time is literally always controlled by a toddler's schedule or our own schedule, like work schedules.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the added stress of being parents definitely makes us more short fused.
And look, you know, when it comes to the time thing, like, I got to give you a lot of credit. And I don't mean this because I get to, you know, you play with my private parts, but you know, what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying this because, you know, it'll get me places. I'm trying to give you credit in the sense that, you know, when it comes to time not being our own, you never really give me an issue if I want to, you know, if I want to do things like, you know, whether it's play football and baseball and or softball on weekends, right? You don't ever really have an issue with it. If I want to set things up to, you know, do a podcast with friends, you don't really care as long as like, it's something that I don't take advantage of, and stuff like
this
that. So I got to give you a ton of credit where yes, we're not in control of our time at all, but you've been ridiculously lenient in terms of not allowing my life to completely change.
You do. Yeah. You still do a lot. And I think my one weakness with that I'm not good. And I will admit
doing
this
it for yourself
is no, I don't do it for myself. I do genuinely do it for you. But when I get upset, I remember the fact like, oh, here I am working until midnight. I haven't gotten a break all day. And you get a chance to play PlayStation or to do your podcast, mm-hmm. or, you know, you get to just relax and I don't. And sometimes remembering that can make me resentful because we're in a little bit of different situations because I don't have anything like that. And I could, but I also really, really can't. I have no time. All of my time goes to my work, my child, and my marriage, not in that order. And the dog, because we know I'm obsessed with the dog. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes while I'm really good at making sure you are still enjoying your life and living out your passions, sometimes I can be resentful of it, which is a problem that I need to work on.
But I think you've also, and you and I have talked about this, like some of those things that like I do, you know, that's not something that you're, you know, that's not a big focus on like your mental health, right? Like, I think you've understood like the things that I do are for like mental health. Like I'd go right. Absolutely. Like it would be very unhealthy if I didn't do some sort of outlet for myself.
Yeah. You need a physical outlet.
Like that's the thing. And I'm not trying to go on this podcast to people and say, look, you know, if you're in a marriage, you know, just tell your wife, look, I'm the man. I need this to do this. You're going to have to just deal with it. It doesn't work that way. There's got to be
men. If there's any men listening, never tell your wife it's your job.
That's correct. Don't say that. You know why I say don't say that? Because I did. And that was not a good idea. Even if you mean it differently, just Mm-mm. don't say it. But yeah, like there's got to be ebbs and flows of things like that. Like Morgan gave me, I don't want to use the word permission, but I run things by her.
We're very good. No, but that's true. And it's not permission, but it is something where like you don't make decisions that affect our family time or marriage time without right. running by me. And I right. do the same. And like if I wanted to get a pedicure, I'd be like, are you sure? Like I run it yeah. by you. Like if there's yeah. something that affects our time.
Right.
Because it is our time. We look at marriage as the terms of like, now that we're married, there's no my time and your time. It is our time.
Right.
And especially with having a toddler and sharing that responsibility, I think we're very good at making sure the other person feels respected in For terms sure. of, mm-hmm. you know, if I want to do something a little bit more selfish or, you know, just by myself for our time, we're good yeah. at running that by each other.
Right. And like, so Morgan said to me with a straight face, no issues whatsoever, said, yeah, you can play, you know, football on Saturdays and you can do your softball on Sundays. I don't have a problem with that. I thought about it. And this was right after I broke my thumb, which made my decision to not play football a little bit easier. But nonetheless, I knew in my head, I'm like, look, that's, she's sacrificing a day already for me to play softball on Sundays, either in the mornings or early afternoon. I just don't think it's fair for me to do it Saturday and Sunday. And I will, and I'm going to say this, and I've said this to all my friends, I said this to my family, I don't like doing anything for a long period of time because it takes me away from being home. I want to be with Addison as often as humanly possible.
My just chopped liver.
That goes without saying. I'm trying to say.
I don't know, Chris. I don't know. I think sometimes you need to say it. Sometimes I need to hear it. Okay.
That's true. But on this circumstance,
but I'm not going to say it now.
So with me is, you know, like I'm just for case in point, I had a softball game today, right? Even though I knew that when the game had ended at the time, I knew Addison was most likely napping. And I know that because I didn't get a text from my wife during the game that Addison's not napping.
Right. So, I always make it very clear, when she doesn't nap.
Right. So at the end of the game, everybody usually not, and this happened, the teams before my game, everyone hung out afterwards, drank some beer. That's not my gig anyway, but I, you know, can hang around, talk to people. As soon as the game was over, the first thing I did was say, good game, everybody. I said, all right, see you next week. And I went home and I came home because whether my wife's taking a nap or not, or if Addison's napping or if Morgan's doing some work, I want to be present and in my home. And that's nothing against any friend. It's nothing against any teammate or any family member. I want to be home. I like being home. I like being around my family. I have had the ability.
Can you imagine if you didn't, how awkward that would be?
I know, right? Jeez. Like we've created an environment at home where it's just, it's a place where I want to be. And it's, I'm not saying that because my wife, I'm staring at my wife on Zoom. She's upstairs. If she doesn't like it, she'll come downstairs and make me turn this off. But that's the thing is I like being home. I don't like going out because I like being home. And if I'm going to go out, it has to be after 8:30 once I put my daughter to bed. Because look, guys, during the week from 7:30 in the morning till 4, I don't get to see my daughter. So when I get home, I only got a few hours. You know, it might seem like a lot, but it's not. Like, I know Morgan says, you know, she does do a lot. She works, but, you know, she still gets to be in that same house as Addison from start to finish. I don't get that. And that hurts me. I love my job. I like going to my job every single day. I don't mind waking up and going to it. But my end game is to get home when I can to see Addison and to see Morgan.
That's a lot better than Thanos's end game.
Oh, I know. So that is the kind of person that I am. I've now, and it comes from upbringing. My dad always came to my stuff. He always did things with me. You know, my mom, you know, I gravitated more to my dad because of sports, but I want to do with my kids what my dad was able to do with me. And he was always there. You know, I never had to really worry about it. Like I'm 34 years old. My first softball game was today. My dad got mad, thought I was mad because he couldn't make it because he had stuff to do at his own house. I don't care. But the fact that he knows in his head, that's what he normally does is go. And I'm sure he'll be there next week. And I'm sure he'll be there the week after that. But that's how I am with Addison. And Morgan can tell you, I will do whatever it takes to get home to see Addie.
Absolutely. And you spend so much time with her because I usually have work events in the evenings too. So you get some really good Addie daddy time, usually from like 6 to 8:30.
Yeah.
And just kind of getting to be with her and bond.
I know. And that's just how it is. So, but to go back to your original, to circle back to your original question.
And we're coming back. Where we're different as parents.
Someone just put the quarter in the merry-go-round and we circled back to where we were. I'm the disciplinarian compared to Morgan.
Yes.
It doesn't work that well because Addie still laughs at the both of us.
I know, that's the thing. She's so manipulative. She just laughs.
Yeah. Morgan's way more protective in a different way. I don't mind when we go to a playground, just letting Addie run around. She falls down, does things like that. She's a kid. So I know kids are way more wimpier than they used to be these days because, you know, parents that have younger kids are also wimpier than they used to be.
That's not true.
So no, listen, when we go to the park, we see parents that are up their kids' butts for we'll go down slides with their 3-year-old and won't even let them go near other kids. And I'm just like,
that could be a COVID thing though.
No, this was before COVID.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Let these kids go be kids.
Can I share the potty story?
Sure. Yeah.
So real quick, because I'd be very interested if anyone has feedback on this, because I don't know how to feel about it, but there is this cute family that always goes to the park around the same time we're there, and there's two daughters. Mm-hmm. And if I think they're 5 and 2.
I don't know.
Is what they are, because we've played, like Addie's played with them before. But if they need to go to the bathroom, at least the one is potty trained, they have this little plastic potty that they bring out, and they just let their daughter just go right there in the potty, but like in front of everyone. Then they just leave the pee-filled potty just kind of out in the open, but just like in public, like they don't really go behind anything. It's just kind of bizarre. Yeah. And like, I get the idea of not wanting to walk all the way to the public restroom.
Yeah, because it's a far walk.
It is. But like in that instance, what my mom always did, which is what I want to do with Addie, because it's something I thought was really smart. She always kept a plastic potty in the car. So like if they had a long car trip or something, they could just pull over on the shoulder and just go in the plastic potty kind of thing, because who knows when the next rest stop's going to be.
Right.
So that I would do, but it's just like out in the open.
Yeah.
Anyway,
obviously continue. If anybody out there has done something like that, please let us know.
No judgment.
Yeah. No judgment. I just want to know your thinking.
Cause I don't know how to feel about it.
My thought process would be, look, if you're potty training, that kid's got to go, teach them that they got to go. They can't go until this potty's there. no matter. But the thing is, it's out in public.
That's the thing. It's like
I feel uncomfortable for the child.
Yeah, there's no good like bush or anything. Like there's
like look,
there's no good place to go.
I'm gonna say it, and I'm sorry, but this is how I feel. There are sick people out there.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I really don't want my 2 or 3 year old dropping their drawers and just squatting in the middle of in front of everybody and peeing. Look, I know that's uncomfortable, but this world's sick. And it's, yeah. you know, you see it all the time of, you know, child molesters, child, you know, stalkers, just saying. So it's not a judgment because look, if it works, that might be something we end up having to do is carry this little potty with us everywhere. If it makes Addie or, you know, our next child at that time want to have to go to the bathroom. Look, I can't go yet. You know, do you have something for me so I can go? Perfect. If that's a normal thing, then that's fine. But it's uncomfortable. It's the exposure right in the middle of everybody is something that just, I guess, rubbed me the wrong way. But so yeah, I mean, I let Addie be more of a kid more often sometimes than Morgan does. Morgan does a really good job. I notice now when we go to the park together, she does let Addie run around a little more, probably because I'm there, but I more or less, if Addie's, you know, running and knocks a kid over, I don't care. I let them handle it themselves because they're kids. You know, because I remember being, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, going to parks with kids or going with older kids. And I mean, we would just go crazy. And if anyone got hurt, that's when you would run home. But you know, I just want these kids to be kids, and I want Addie to be kid.
You clear the scene.
Oh yeah. If like someone like got like a really bad cut, you clear the scene. Everyone leave, and you know, Chris, just go home. And we didn't do it. You fell. There was like just find a way to hide like everything.
It's like that Christmas Story scene. What's the boy's
when
name?
When he shoots his eye out.
No, who puts the tongue on the right. pole and then all that's his right. friends leave him.
Exactly.
Ralphie leaves him.
That's what happened when we were kids. But yeah, I'm just more lenient on the outdoors with other kids than the Morgan mm-hmm. might be. Other than that, we're not really too different. I don't like when Morgan gives her juice.
I know. You don't like when I give her juice and I
she
get it.
She has yet to listen to my orders of no juice. Give her little organic apple juice things, but none of that. Ocean spray, whatever. It's like loaded with sugar.
I know, but it's in the house, and until it's out of the house because we bought so much of it for her, it's hard because that's what she wants first thing in the
I'm
morning.
I'm dumping it as soon as we're done this
no show. Don't because I'll drink it.
You won't. You never do.
Yes I do. You don't know. You're not here. You don't know. You don't know my life. Don't act like you know what I drink on the reg. You don't know this
on the rag.
No, the reg, the regular, the reg. On the reg. Isn't that a thing that people say?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I say
I've
it.
Already
I'm
used the
it.
Word woke today, so I'm as 2021 as you can get right now.
I know. I was really surprised you whipped that out of nowhere.
That's what
the
she
other
said.
Thing is, too, is like we had a mini argument the other day about how, like, I don't want Addison to have a television in her room, like, at all, ever.
I said at, like, between 7
you said
and
like
10.
Eight.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, at the earliest, maybe 16. Maybe,
you're a
I don't know.
Maniac.
I'm just very
16.
Well, by that point, she'll have a cell phone. So if she wants to watch Netflix, she can watch it on her cell
Listen,
phone. Or maybe
I was watching
iPad.
Monday Night Raw on a black and white television screen at like 8 years old.
I just don't like the idea of a television in the bedroom for children.
But there's,
I just don't think it's up for good
parental
habits.
Controls.
No, but I just don't think it's not even if they're watching good or bad stuff. It's just the fact that they're watching stuff versus reading a book or using their imagination for something.
That's why
or
you take
getting a
the
better
remote.
Night's rest.
Take the
yeah,
remote.
But then you're just causing problems for yourself.
No, you're not.
You wouldn't have to have that argument if the TV wasn't even there in the first place.
16.
Yeah, I didn't have a TV in my room until I was in college.
Well, let's discuss who those people were.
Very sensible, smart human beings when it
one
came
of them.
To television exposure.
One of them.
I don't know. I've never understood the idea of the television in the kid's room. I just don't know why. It's just
Look,
not a thing
she
for
had,
me.
If she doesn't show any interest in it, then that's fine.
Oh, please. She's going to show interest.
I don't
she
know.
Would want one now if we'd give it to
that's
her.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's funny.
It yeah, it's funny. I feel like, and you don't want her to ever get married. I don't know if it's because you don't want her to pay for it or because you don't want her to be with another human being or what, but.
Yeah, I don't ever want that to ever occur.
I know.
I'm hoping by the time she's 30, when she's going to maybe get married, there's a rapture.
Chris, you don't want her to experience the joy of marriage that we experience?
No.
No. That's so loving.
I want her to depend on my love until I'm dead.
I see.
That's it. That's it.
I see. I want to be on Smothered with her, that TLC show where her and I are just so close.
That's brutal. Like, that should be illegal, that show.
There are some very interesting things that go on in that show that I just can't wrap my, like, I'm obsessed with my child, but not like that.
Yeah. I agree. All right. Before we get out of here, do you have any more questions?
Yes. My last question is kind of looking forward is, what are you looking forward to most about introducing baby number two into the household and being a daddy of two?
Just making sure that Addison knows that none of my love and attention is being taken away from her for a short period of time, to let her know that this is, to show her that this is just different right now.
Yeah.
That, you know, I want her to quickly realize that there's going to be times where I can't play with her right away and I can't do these things, but don't worry, you know, give me a few minutes, or, you know, I'm going to make it up to you. And I want her to realize that I don't love her any less.
Yeah.
I
feel like that's what I'm going to struggle with, because especially since I like to nurse, as long as I can nurse again, you know, I'm going to have a lot less time with Addie. And I think you're actually going to get a lot more time with Addie.
I will.
And
yes.
I'm afraid she'll feel that from me. And I'm trying to watch my, like, the words and the things that I say, like when I'm tired or if I can't pick her up, I want to make sure I'm not phrasing it like mommy can't, she's pregnant, or, you know, I don't ever want to make it seem like the baby is to blame for anything. Cause then, you know,
that's
but Addie's still a little young to understand that, but still,
right.
Like, I don't want to say like mommy can't, she's pregnant, because that's kind of putting the blame on the baby. I'm just trying to be really careful.
Yeah. You've done a really good job with how we phrase things. Like, she wants to jump on you a lot and I have to tell her, don't do that. You can hurt.
So you say you can hurt the baby, and I say it as mommy's really sensitive right now, or, you know, not like she probably gets that either, but I try not to mention
don't
the baby
hurt the
at
baby,
all.
Addie. Addison, mommy's really sensitive to your jumping. Please do not elevate your body towards me. Addison,
well, you know,
don't jump on mommy. Let's see who's easier to talk to. So
you're not wrong.
Yeah. Pretty much. I just want Addison to know that my love for you isn't changing. I just have to divert it now to another person, you know. That's probably what I'm more, and I'm just looking forward to, I guess, another Addison like experience from a baby standpoint. I'm terrified.
I'm excited to see
again.
Them together.
Yeah, I'm very excited and scared at the same time to see what they're going to do together. But I think Addison, you know, we see her with her little baby dolls here. The worry part is after about 3 minutes, Addie hangs them by their legs. So we hope that ends up not happening with the new one. But I'm looking forward to completing the family. This is it.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. Two.
We're planning on two.
Yeah, and that's it. That's what I'm looking forward to to completion in the non-sexual side. I'm very just looking forward to, you know, just finalizing this home, not just the home, but the DeFrancesco family. And it's just going to be really exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Same.
Is that it? Like,
when
one stops for like 2 seconds, that means the other person probably has to either say something or just go, all right, I'm good.
Well, no, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I've said that too. Like, I'm really excited. Like, we were really hoping to have two children, and that's what we're looking forward to. And it's just exciting, the idea of, you know, if we have more, we have more, but, you know, we're planning on two.
No, there is no more.
Well, I'm not going to get into that with you, but you know what I mean? If we're put in a situation, you know, nothing's good, you know, we're going to have another baby. But no, I'm just really looking forward to, feeling like our family is complete in that sense. I think that's really exciting. Just seeing them together, it'll be really cute. They can wear matching outfits.
Oh yeah, cute. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, that concludes the Where to Begin podcast. I don't know what episode we're up to.
Where to begin?
But that is
that our theme song, Canopy. Can you just record me saying that over and over and over again and have it repeat?
No, but
to open it up and you can like have a crescendo where it just gets louder.
Nope, but
you don't think that would spark more listenership?
No, because no, it would not. But okay, rude. So just like keep you guys up to you know, keep you guys abreast of what's going on. I have a couple other podcasts you guys can check out. Head over to youtube.com and type / Nerdthusiast podcast. You could find my wrestling show with Kyle Barone on there. You can also listen to the Disney Happy Hour. Same place you guys can find the Where to Begin podcast. Check that out. And I have another show that's in the works. I'm not going to announce it right now. But I'm just letting you guys know that that's coming down the line, maybe like a month from now. That's going to be a show that's going to be pretty much centered around the entertainment world, whether it's movies, comic books,
Chris Angel Mind Freak.
No, you know, pro wrestling, you know, the comic universe, stuff like that, like news or all that surrounds all of that. Cause Lord knows if you follow DC right now, there's just news everywhere nonstop about what's going on. But that's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. You know, Morgan will probably be involved with that as well, with her vast knowledge of film and so on. So, yeah, just a lot of good things coming. We have a baby coming here and we're in the final trimester what? Here. So
what?
So we're looking forward to the final edition. But yeah, there's a lot going on. To find this podcast, guys, you go to any podcast platform, Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, I don't know, anywhere.
Chris, if they're listening, they've already found it.
Well, but still.
Tell others
that you can find this podcast anywhere. But thank
every
you
every time you say that, you remind me of that SNL character that Bill Hader played, Stefan, I think was his name. Was like, we're everywhere. Cause you know how he and you do that thing, he like lists off like 10 like crazy, crazy bizarre things.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We hope you
I guess I don't have any updates.
What's your update?
You just get to share about all your podcasts and I don't get to share anything.
What do you have coming up?
I don't have anything. I mean, I'm working, but
you're the worst.
You didn't even give me the opportunity.
Well, you know, I sort of know your schedule.
Just lots of work.
Yes, lots of work.
Just working on the web.
That's right. Thank you guys very much for your constant support. Hope you guys enjoy this one as well. We'll be back in a couple weeks with a brand new.
See you on the flip side.
That's correct. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend. We will catch you guys down the road. Have a great one. Be safe. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.